everybody. I hope you are staying cool because Pam here from Take Two Radio is very hot in Chicago.
I'm here too.
Oh, yeah? My co-host Sabina is joining me today from Atlanta. Is it really hot and humid over there?
Yeah, except for yesterday it was beautiful. And Sunday it was really beautiful. Cooler, less humid. And I want it to come back. So we keep getting teased with fall weather.
I know, but you have to think about it. Summer's practically over, and we're just now getting it. And that's very, very unusual for Chicago because normally starting in July, we hit those 90s and above and the humidity in the hundreds. And, you know, then we want to beg for September to come along. You know, it's the complete opposite this time. So I guess we should probably bring on our guest. What do you think?
Sure. Yep.
You think he wants to talk?
I think so.
Well, tonight we welcome a director, an actor, a writer, and the Batman remake, Gary Kearns. Couldn't help
That's
but bring
fine.
That one in. Welcome, Gary. I was going to originally say this is a catch-up with Gary and his project show, so that'll work too.
Yeah. Hello?
Are you with us? Oh, okay.
I thought I lost you for a second. I was like, I'm looking at my phone. I was like, did it disconnect? That would suck.
Don't lose us. Please don't lose us.
No, I'd call right back.
Yeah, definitely. So how are you doing today?
I'm doing really well. How are you ladies doing?
We're good. We're just all hot and sticky.
Yeah, it's hot and, well, it just rained a little bit in Dallas. So it's, but usually it's super hot here and muggy. So I'm kind of enjoying the cool weather today.
Most definitely. And you're filming out there right now, correct?
Yeah, I'm on location in Dallas for another week or so. And then I go back home.
Is it something you can talk about as far as what you're filming?
Yeah, so I'm shooting a film called Daylight's In. It's a post-apocalyptic thriller. You know, set like 3 years and the world's ending type of thing. You know, it has Lance Henriksen, Johnny Strong, Joaquin K. Kazim, Louis Mandalore. It's a really cool group of actors. Heather Kafka. Yeah, I mean, go on and on. Chris Carson, just amazing talent I've been surrounded by this month, and really, really appreciate being here. So it's kind
of
like
a
dream
job.
A lot
of things are happening for you, and that's exciting.
Yeah, it's weird. One day I was doing nothing. All of a sudden, the past 13 months, I've been film to film. You know, but you build it, they will come. So apparently,
right.
Slowly but surely, you put it out there, the universe responds. And it all started with Malignant, actually. That was the first feature, and then it just got busy from that point on.
Well, keep it going because you deserve it. You've been working hard, and we would like to also talk about your road trip to film Monumental.
Yes, that was... Yeah, I talked to you ladies right before I took that road trip, didn't I? Or was
mm-hmm.
it?
Yes, right before.
Yeah, right before. Yeah, it was a two-week road trip from L.A. to New York. Just we went to all the monuments. It wasn't like a straight shot. We went Hoover Dam and through New Mexico Strip, through Colorado to Mount Rushmore, to St. Louis Arch, then to through Indiana. We shot in Indiana. Then we went to Michigan for a derby, and then we went down under through the top of Ohio. I stopped at my family's house for like 4 hours and took a nap in Cleveland, Ohio, my Aunt Kathy and Uncle Jerry's house. It was awesome that we, you know, they let us crash here for a minute. And then on to New York, saw the Statue of Liberty, did a little thing there, Liberty Bell, Washington, D.C. And we shot a couple of days in Virginia Beach to, you know, some insert close-up shots, RV shots. And then we drove from Virginia Beach, me, Luke, and a few other crew guys, Virginia Beach to Huntington Beach, California, in 40 hours. So it was,
wow.
I mean, it was amazing, and it was so many ups and downs. It was like the RV read the script. I'm telling you, because what happened in the Like, seriously, what happened? I think Luke mentioned that on the show with you guys.
Yeah.
It literally,
was
breaking down.
When we,
yeah, we. It, I mean, in every little which way, is Luke and Brandon Densley, are like semi mechanics now. I think they learn how to fix RVs at least, or rig them up somehow, keep us surviving. Yeah, and that's a very vague part of the description of that road trip.
You went to a ton of places, though. I mean, have you been to any of those before?
I've been to the Hoover Dam before, and that's why originally when I first wrote the first draft of Monumental, the Hoover Dam was not in it. And obviously I was uneducated and ignorant to ignore it. And then when I was there, I literally was reading every little piece of rock that had any information. I mean, I studied it. I even got a DVD, took it home, and just really grew to appreciate that monument. And I was like, damn, it's got to be in here. Even though we rush it in the film, it fits the story how we shot it. We don't get to glorify it. I mean, we had helicopters flying over. Me and Luke were actually in a helicopter flying over the Hoover Dam for one of the shots. I don't recommend that because if you're afraid of heights like me,
that would be me.
Not me.
Yeah,
Sabino will do anything.
If it was a faster helicopter, it might have been funner. This was like a slow bubble one. It was just like putting along and feeling every little wind jab you can feel. When it landed, I was like smiling like ear to ear. Like, this is like, I'm landed. This is.
Did you get down on your knees and kiss the ground?
No, it was too hot, or I probably would have. Arizona's not there. Nevada, whatever that area is, it's not super hot.
Yeah.
Definitely, because that's what I feel like when I get out of an airplane. I want to get down and kiss the ground that I've landed safely. So there's no part of me that wants to or needs to go into a helicopter. It's hard enough to get on a plane.
Yeah, only for film's sake is how I did it. That's it. My character does it, I do it. Other than that, Gary Kennett does not get in a helicopter.
Yeah.
Character can.
Well, I can understand that. I've been in a helicopter, and it is kind of, it's different. It actually gave me these weird feelings in my stomach whenever it would go, like, feel like it's falling, but it's not. So I can understand how you felt. I don't know why, but I wasn't really that nervous and that, frightened by it. I enjoyed seeing, because I went in a helicopter in Hawaii. And so I was seeing beautiful scenery. So I think that kind of helped. I don't know. But we were kind of hovering there in near these great big waterfalls and in nooks and crannies. And it was very intense, but it was fun. I definitely enjoyed it.
Yeah. Well, our director, luckily he's not afraid of anything. He also had his own aerial shots around Hoover Dam. He did it also at Mount Rushmore, got in one and just got his own aerial. So when the trailer I sent you, those shots, I mean, that's Scott Hansen, you know what I mean? Our director just shooting away, pulling favors, and, those aerials are his, so it's awesome. He can be, he's the daredevil.
Yeah, I think you need to have at least one on a film, depending on what you're going to be doing.
Yeah. Yeah, and might as well be our leader at the helm, the director.
I want to thank you for sharing the film, the short trailer with me and Sabina. I'll have to tell you that you had me in tears, and it's only a little over 2 minutes long, so we're definitely going to need at least a whole Kleenex box to watch this film when it's done.
That's cool. You felt that way. I mean, like, it's a rough trailer. I'll send you, I'll keep you guys in a loop. I'll send you, like, the newest solid footage before it's released.
Cool.
We should have a new trailer. Probably the night we'll have a fresher one, actually. It's just going to get better and better. Those are the quick tweak, little tweaks here and there we got to do, so.
Yeah, but you can tell just from that 2 minutes, you put the best parts of the film probably in there to show what it's about and who it's about, mm-hmm. and And the journey, I mean, I don't know if it's maybe because I know what the movie's about, but to me, I tried to view it as somebody new viewing it. And you did a great job, even if it's a rough cut.
Oh, thank you. That's all Scott. It's Scott and his team over at Digital Thunderdome in Virginia Beach putting that together, you know, with notes from Luke. I haven't even given them notes. I've been too busy. But they're, you know, they know what they're doing over there.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you can tell. So give them a shout out from us.
They're amazing. They're amazing.
Now, what was it like for you to film and act in the same movie that you actually wrote? I mean, you have a lot of hats in this movie.
Yeah. You know, it didn't really hit me. I mean, it was one of those ones that me and Luke talked about it because, I mean, we created this thing, and obviously me and him are in these scenes, and we've discussed it. And me and him really had one day we actually sat down as actors trying to rehearse with each other just kind of vaguely, and on set it was just like we had instant chemistry. So we had from another movie, Lost in the Crowd, we did like 25 million years ago that'll never see the light of day probably.
Yeah.
But whatever, that's just a little smug remark to the people that flag on putting things out. That's what Monumental is all about. It's about showing people, hey, you can do it no matter what. No excuses, just go do it. Don't talk about it, do it. But to finish your question, it wasn't that hard because working with, like I said, I had a great team around me. Luke, we were focused. Scott knew what he was doing. Our producers knew, you know, and Stuart, we put this all together. And like I said, I'm kind of looking at it now, seeing the trailer, and I got a little worked up when I saw it because I was like, okay, wow, this is what I was going for. You know what I mean? And it didn't hit me while we were filming it because we had no time. I mean, it was crunch time, 24/7, sleeping, driving, nonstop. You know, we couldn't post nothing but little stills. Like, and, you know, we had some investors kind of saying, oh, you promised us to do this. We're like, we had no time. We can't stop the movie, stop and go pull over and edit something that we don't have an editing bay with us and show us. You know what I mean? It was just little arguments here and there. Like, we really tried to do what we can to appease all of our people that helped donate it and do what they can. Other than that, it was a joy. But I think me and Luke now are kind of being able to sit back and go, wow, we're doing this because he's been so busy with some other stuff too. It just happened. Like Monumental just literally happened. We talked about it. We just did it. We didn't. There was no. You know what I mean? It was just kind of
right.
Go do it. Boom.
Right. Now, you kind of answered another question I had, and that was now that you've completed the film and you've, you know, viewed what you've had, are you happy with the finished product or is there anything you would do differently? So it sounds like you pretty much got what you wanted.
I haven't seen I haven't seen any of the film, in the rough cut, but I have all my faith in Scott and his team. That's why when I have other people that want to direct the movie. And to me, if there's one single most important thing, I mean, everything's so important to a movie, but you have to have a director that has a vision and it's going to have a point across. And Scott's one of those guys that's just in his head. Like he was talking to me about, I know how I see the trailer. It's in my head. And I completely have faith in him because I've been a fan of him for, you know, some years now. And the fact when I was helping him move one day or just packing stuff up, and he's like, hey, what's about Monumental? So when he came, he was interested. I knew we were going to make a good movie or a great movie. If I would have directed it, I think it would have been good. But him directing, I think we have a shot at really a great movie. So I have all my faith in him. And, you know, I knew what Luke can do. It was a no-brainer. So it was like I said, now it's just kind of trying to put it together and properly.
By any chance, do you hear the noise that's on the phone?
Yeah, I hear a little, whatever that little noise is.
Like a static-type noise? Okay, because I was just wondering if it was only me hearing it. Did you move from where you were sitting, Gary, before?
No, I'm in the same spot.
Okay, so am I. So I don't know what that is, and it's starting to annoy me. But we do have a caller on hold, and I do believe that it might be somebody that you said was going to call in. So let's go ahead and check it out. area code 310.
Hello?
You're on. Hi.
Hi, hi. It's Brian.
Director of
Malignant. Hey.
Hi. Hey, say hi to Gary and say hi to Sabina.
Gary.
And I'm Pam.
Hi, nice to meet you on the phone.
Hi. You too. I'm sorry about the noise that's on the line. I'm not sure what that is. It just started, and I hope you can hear us okay.
Yeah, I can hear it all right.
Okay. Well, for our listeners, we have director and writer Brian Avnet Bradley on the phone with us, and he's worked with Gary in a movie. So how's it going for you today, Brian?
Oh, good, good. We're just in the very final stage of finishing up post on the movie, and very happy with it, and very especially happy with Gary's performance in it. I don't know if he's talked to you guys much about it, but not only is he the lead actor in it, but he's just about in every scene. It's a psychological suspense thriller slash horror film that really follows his character. You kind of know everything from his point of view. So Gary is, after the initial setup of the movie, I think Gary is in every scene. I don't think there's a scene that doesn't have it.
So Gary's the star of Malignant. Malignant is the name of the movie.
That's why I'm going to have a hard time watching it.
Well, you've already seen a rough cut of it. So you've already been subjected to it a little bit.
It was with you and Lo. I can live with that. Premiere or something like that. It's going to be a little nerve-wracking for me.
Well, if you haven't picked it up by now, Gary is incredibly modest. Really does an amazing job in the film. I mean, he really has to carry the movie because of the type of film it is on his character. And, I mean, him and the antagonist is Brad Dourif, and what they did together was just absolutely amazing. It was just, it's the highlight of the movie when the antagonist and protagonist kind of finally meet up in person, and it really was great directing both of them together. It was great experience for me.
Well, how did you hook up with Gary?
Well, that was just auditioning. We were auditioning for the lead character of Alex, because we knew it, like, the whole movie really was on that character's shoulders, so we had to get like someone exceptional, and it's also a very difficult role. It has a lot of art to it, so there's a lot of different moods and expressions and emotions, and he really has a breakdown throughout the course of the movie, and then things even get worse after that. So I needed someone who could pull that off, and Gary was the only one after all the auditions who could really do it.
I'm not surprised. He's good like that.
I mean, you came in like what, for three times auditioning, Gary?
I think it was twice. I came in with you once, and then Lo for the second time, and then you guys offered me the role, and then I came in and read with Nick Nicotero, and then a few other possible Emily's, just to see what the chemistry was like or whatever. And
that was really the key, was like Gary was the only actor who could hit all the notes. I mean, there were other actors, and they're all, good actors, but, I needed someone who could hit all the different notes that the part required, and it was a tall order. And Gary was able to go there even in the auditions, and then I think working together, I mean, in the course of the movie, I mean, it goes much, much, much further. But you could already see in the audition, that he was going to be able to go there, which was, it's hard to do that in an audition.
Right, exactly. And you have such a short time to do that, I would imagine, to get your point across and what you want to do.
We kind of did an unorthodox casting in the sense that I don't really like to line people up and cattle call type auditions. So I actually probably met with everybody the first time for a minimum of 15 minutes. And then the second time, if someone came back the second time, I think it was up to even longer, like a half hour to an hour. Because I feel like you can't really get a sense of somebody, if they just come in and read and you go, thank you, and they walk out the door.
Right.
They don't really tell you anything.
Yeah, I would imagine even if you're a seasoned director or producer or writer, that it's got to be kind of hard to, get the gist of what somebody is like and what they can do for your character in just a few minutes.
Well, a lot of that has to do with, having a really good casting agent, and we had some people helping us with casting, but we didn't really have a person who officially had that role. So we kind of had to take on a little bit of that responsibility, the producer and myself. So the only way I could really make that work for me was to just spend a little bit more time. And Gary was, I mean, like I said, he just came in, and I think it was the second audition. I mean, he was, like, in tears for the scene, you know. And the audition, he's in tears, you know, which is just kind of amazing for an actor to be able to do that.
Well, that, well, I wanted the role, and the, I remember being at the second, the callback, and that hospital scene wasn't even, you guys were, like, saying goodbye to me, and I was like, well, I wanted to do the hospital scene just to show you I can go there. I didn't want to leave. Sometimes, you know, and I've been learning through the experience of the auditions, you know, I kind of go in there and let the casting director dictate it. And I'm like, you know what? I'm called in. Let me try to talk a little bit and say, let me try this, you know, if I'm given that shot. And I wouldn't have been able to sleep that night or probably quite some time afterwards if I didn't get to attempt or at least bring up, hey, let me try this scene for you guys. Because you have to go all out. There's a lot of hungry actors out there. And in order to play with the big boys, I mean, you got to be willing to go there and not be afraid and just step up, and that's all I want. You know, I appreciate you giving me that opportunity to do that because, you know, not everyone does. Sometimes they're like, yeah, yeah, thank you, that's good, thank you. You're like, all right, peace.
The acting talent was his attitude was amazing, and we did some pretty crazy things with the part. Like, we went out to some pretty crazy places out in the desert that were pretty remote, and he was very gung-ho about really going there and you know, getting what we needed. It was some tough conditions in the summer heat. It was pretty brutal.
Gosh, that noise is just driving me up a wall. I noticed that, you know, from your IMDb, Brian, that you're into making a lot of ghost and or, like, suspense movies. Is that something you intended on doing for the love of them, or that's just how it happened lately?
No, to me, it's like you've got to do what you're passionate about. And I mean, I've always, ever since I started doing these little things as shorts when I was 10 years old, it's always basically been, like, suspense, horror, thriller, science fiction, or kind of really, really dark comedy. It's always kind of, it always falls into that kind of arena. Different scripts and different movies have different mixtures of that. But like even this film has like a science fiction component that we don't go into a lot. But when you watch the movie, it'll subtly kind of creep up on you that there is like a science fiction component to it as well. But yeah, that's kind of my interest is that. That's just kind of what intrigues me. I love executing and shooting, you know, suspense. And I love, you know, situations where you're with a character that kind of gets put through the ringer. So I think that just makes, you know, really interesting cinema to see a character be put into, you know, more intense situations than hopefully we ever experience in our lives. And see how they, you know, function in that.
Yeah. So, Brian, why, I'm just curious, what made you change the name from Black Butterflies to Malignant?
Well, when I first wrote the script, as these things happen, the first draft of the script, which is radically different than this one, goes all the way back to 2008. And at that point, there was no movie called Black Butterflies. And it actually thematically fits the movie, and if you, it makes sense. You watch the movie because there's actually black butterflies in the film. So, you know, I went with that title, and then in the course of, like, developing it and all the rewrites, and by the time we actually got the movie together or were able to execute it, all of a sudden there were, like, four black butterflies movies. So it went from, like, no movie having this title to all of a sudden there was, like, four. And I'm like, okay, this is a problem. My totally unique, weird title is now being used by four movies. So it was like a big title search, which, you know, actually Gary helped us with a big title search to find like another title that fit the movie but wasn't, you know, taken. And finally, like, Malignant came up and there wasn't another movie named it, and it fit the movie also thematically. So I'm like, okay, so we switched it over. So it took me a little while to get used to saying the new title in my head, but now I'm totally used to it. So.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I think somebody was inside your head if they came up with four other shows or movies by that name.
Yeah. It's very strange. It's not the type of title that you think everyone would be snatching out of your hands.
Yeah.
but I guess these things come in waves. It's weird, you know. So, but it's fine. I mean, the new title fits the movie really well, and I actually kind of like one word titles. So I'm actually glad that it worked out and it fits the poster really well. So it's gonna be nice.
Well, that's good. That's good that it worked out for you. I was curious, since you direct a lot of thriller type movies like that, Do the thrillers scare you at all, or have you become desensitized maybe, or?
Well, I think the harder part for me is, like, if you make movies, you're very aware of, you know, the tricks. I still get scared in a movie if it's a really great movie, because in a really great movie, you forget you're watching a movie. So if it's really great, I can be totally scared and it totally works on me. But if it's not a great movie, if it's, you know, okay to good, and I don't really get sucked into it, then it can be harder because, you know, I know the little tricks people do for the scare or the suspense or that kind of stuff. And a lot of movies, unfortunately, today are derivative of other movies. But the ones that are original, the horror movies and thrillers that are original and doing something different, yeah, they totally still work for me. I love watching those.
That makes sense. Yeah, it is. It really is.
Yeah.
So what is it that you did before you became a director?
Well, I've done a lot of stuff which basically goes across, like, directing and writing, editing, even some producing. But my passion's always been, since I was a kid, my passion's always been kind of like writing stories and telling them. And then very early on, I basically came across film. Initially, I started out trying to do these, like, elaborate plays as a kid. And we'd have these elaborate plays, and we'd actually have to have the audience run around with us to different locations so I could make the play. So they all these things. And then pretty soon I realized, like, my dad was an optical engineer at a company, and he brought home, like, one of the first like video cameras with like the separate unit, like the recorders, like a whole separate box and the camera. And he basically showed me this and said, this might be easier if you just shot this as opposed to trying to run around and drag the audience. So that was kind of the beginning. And then once I saw what you could do in that medium, then it was like, oh yeah, this is what I was trying to do. This is great. And then I saw Star Wars, and that was the first movie I ever saw in the theater, and I think my eyes got really big after watching that movie.
Oh yeah, that was huge.
Very, very good. Oh yeah.
Well, that's the original non-special edition. I guess I should clarify what Star Wars that is.
Okay.
So if you weren't a director, what is it you'd want to be doing instead?
That's really hard. I mean, I still do a lot of editing work for other people, and, you know, I do enjoy that, a lot of TV editing and stuff, and if it's the right kind of project, that is rewarding, and I enjoy that, but I only think I could do that because I know I'm also going to go back to directing, and I don't know if there's anything else I could really do, like, full-time, and that's all I did. I think I would go crazy, and like I said, it's really, like, just wanting to tell stories, which I think is what Gary, you know, Gary's got the same bug, which is probably another reason why we hit it off really well, because Gary is a writer and a storyteller too, and even beyond him being an actor, I think that's why we really, really hit it off together, because there's a lot of actors, that's all they do is act.
Right.
But, you know, Gary's also, I think, pretty much a storyteller. He does that with his performance, his acting, but also, you know, he's a writer, and now he's producing and making it happen, and I've been lucky to see a little bit of the footage of Monumental, and I'm blown away with what he's done with that film.
Yeah, so are we.
Yeah.
No, thank you, guys.
Well, maybe you and Gary could collaborate on the next movie.
Oh, I'd love to work with Gary again. We've already talked a little bit about that. I mean, I'd love to work with him again because he's, you know, what's great about Gary is he's got quite a bit of a range. So it's not like a lot of actors where you're like, well, I don't really have a part for you in this movie. pretty good range of different characters he can play. As a matter of fact, I'm kind of itching to see him play a really awful person. I've kind of been trying to, like, craft a role that I'd like to see Gary.
I'm waiting for someone to give me that role. I'm waiting.
Well, then you both need to sit down and write it together and get your heads going.
Yeah, well, when he's back in town, we're definitely going to hook up and talk.
Well, I'm back next week. We should get together before I head up north for a minute. Then I'll see you on end of September as well. So,
but it was really cool. Like in the process of making, Malignant, and we had a post process where actually Gary came back in and was involved with that, and actually picked up some extra shots, which really helped the movie that I wanted to get, but there was just no way in the original production to get them. And he, you know, so from the process of doing that, I kind of found out what he wanted to do with Monumental. And I was like, wow, this is amazing. This sounds really difficult to pull off. And then, you know, here we are at the end of post. And he actually already went out and did it and pulled it off and shot it, which is amazing because you hear about people all the time saying, yeah, I'm gonna do this movie.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, it
never
happened.
Yeah.
But,
that was why I pushed so hard to do it, because I couldn't. I'm around so many people that just talk. And I got sick of, and I was one of those guys as well, talking forever and a bunch of other stuff. And I finally just, did it. We just did. I mean, literally.
Well, you didn't talk very long on Monumental, because I think for the first time I heard about it, you doing it was like maximum 6 months.
Yeah, that's about what it was. It would have been sooner if we were free. It was scheduling and everything else. And, I mean, like I said, me, Luke, Scott, Stewart. Yeah, we put it together and bam, that was it. So
it was just right timing, that's all. You know, right timing, right place, right people. Just all fell in together.
Well, Gary's so busy, I think. I mean, it was lucky with Daylight's End that actually got pushed back a little bit, right? It was almost going to, like, you were going to finish Monday.
Well, luckily it got pushed.
Daylight's End.
I would have had a 2-day grace period. Luckily, Daylight's End pushed a few weeks, and I got to breathe for a minute. And then I flew out to Dallas, and I was, because I did the night visitor, and then I was dealing with all the prep work in Monumental, then we shot Monumental, and then, you know, I almost didn't even come home. I almost went straight from Virginia Beach to Dallas, but then, you know, a few weeks, it got pushed, so I was like, phew. I needed it. I mean, I really did. I wouldn't have been, a human being can only take so much. And,
right.
Just from the producing, the stress factor on Monumental was high, and if something went wrong with it, I felt more responsible than anyone because I started it, and then, you know, Luke as well, so we had this pressure that, you know, I mean, like we said, we still feel it. You know, I know Luke feels it, but we're confident when we see the footage. We're like, okay, all that drama, all that you know, the road trip seems like a joy from watching the footage. It's like, yeah, that was good times.
Yeah.
And, there was a lot of drama, you know, that we had to deal with at home. You know, we're dealing with people on emails and text messages, and it was just like, come on, dude. We did it, and here we are talking about it.
Well, when
cool.
can
well,
we expect
I should,
to
see
Malignant?
I know that you're going to have someone else call in, right, Gary?
Yeah, Luke's supposed to call in.
I think he's called in. Luke, are you with us?
Yeah, I am.
Well, it's a menage
there
a
he is.
That's awesome.
Well, I'm going to cut off
soaking
so
it up.
And change topics.
All right. Thanks for calling in, Brian. I'll see
thank
you next
you
week.
Thank you so much, Brian.
I'll listen in on the net.
Hey, Brian. Good to talk to you a little
bit. All right. Bye. Thanks, guys.
Thank you,
Brian.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, that was so sweet of him to call in.
I didn't know I was giving off my presents. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, it's awesome. But, yeah, no, Brian's amazing. So, it's, you know, he's a director that can make an actor grow tremendously. And, yeah, so he's one of those guys that I feel I'll have a decent career because I worked with him. You know, just that growth, confidence he instills in you. So, I'm glad he got to call in and say what he had to say. So,
Yes,
now you guys
I feel very grateful
yeah.
that he did, that
you
got him to call in.
Yeah, he never does interviews. He never does them. But I want to introduce a guy that loves interviews, who's my partner in crime. One of the best dudes on the planet, just all around, pound for pound talent, Luke Albright. Yeah, thanks for calling in, buddy.
Hey, I'm so glad to be here again. Hello, everyone.
Hi.
Hello.
Feels like a family reunion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it Pam and Sabine again?
Yes.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I've been waiting. Woohoo!
So,
ladies,
Luke, you still have your mohawk?
Go ahead. Yeah. I do.
Got your mohawk?
Still rocking it. Yes,
yeah.
Ma'am. It's tough to get
and
rid
Gary...
of. I tried to cut it, and it wouldn't let me.
No.
Uh-uh.
Well, so did you tell your girlfriend that we got to see her in General Hospital?
Yeah, she's really excited. She really appreciated that.
Yeah, and she was good. Too bad she couldn't stick around a little bit longer. But I'm sure
we'll
see her
in You see her in the trailer for Monumental. You know, Agnes.
Oh.
Yeah, she's also on this song. She does a really good job as well.
You know, I didn't really look at to see who exactly everybody is because it's such a short
mm-hmm.
trailer, but, you know, because you're more concentrating on what you're looking at as far as the scenery and what's going on. So I'm going to have to go back and watch that again.
Yeah. Just keep it to your guys, you know, yourself.
Oh, definitely.
But, yeah, watch it.
Definitely.
Watch it as many times as you want. I'll show you the new one, you know, because you guys are part of our little posse. We'll show you.
Awesome.
Well, poor Luke,
so, yeah.
His phone call just dropped.
Oh, he'll be back.
I hope he's got a call back, yeah. So, okay, so Luke had the mohawk, and he told us that one of the other guys, was it one of the film guys, I think, that got a mohawk while you guys were filming Monumental?
It was the director, Scott.
The director, that's who it was.
Yeah, when we got to New Mexico, he wanted the mohawk. Baby, you know, he did it. I thought it was going to become a trend. I think it's going to when Monumental comes out. I think Luke Albright is going to start a mohawk trend, no doubt about it. I mean, I'm tempted.
Yeah.
I'm tempted for the right role. If you give me a taxi driver role, I'll pull it off. But
right.
Yeah, you know, I think Luke makes it look cool for a business guy to do it, I think. You know,
yeah.
Put a suit
oh,
on.
God. I think who was it telling us they wanted to do it, but they'd have a tough time selling insurance with that kind of haircut. I think my brother told me that.
Yeah, I think it's going to be the new fad thing next year.
Well, it was
a
fad
mad.
At one time, so things usually come back.
It's all cyclical, and I pray to God I'm not the person to restart it, but if it happens, it happens. I apologize to everyone's children right now. Sorry, guys.
I mean, I think what they're going to do, I think they're going to go to Mount Rushmore and carve a mohawk into Abraham Lincoln, I think, right after this movie's released.
Yeah.
Well,
awesome.
As they should. I mean, I think that's
I think they should.
It.
I mean, I saw Lincoln staring at you. If he's not going to do it at Mount Rushmore, they're going to do it to the Lincoln Monument. Just give him a mohawk. Let's update him. You know what I mean?
He was.
It's been 150 years.
He was really jealous that Roosevelt and I were getting along so well. I saw that as well.
He does, yeah. Roosevelt was trying to peek in the corner. He did. I saw him trying to tuck away. He didn't like it. But,
you guys are goofy.
Men
with a road trip bike.
I hope somebody filmed all the outtakes from this movie and put it out there so we can see it, because I bet it was a blast being with you guys.
There's a few, and 100% of them all are with Luke Albright, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
not
true.
Yeah, no.
He's keeping his stitches over here.
I really wish we had more, actually, though. It wasn't as easy to film behind the scenes like we thought it was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
It was such a rush. But there are some behind the scenes footage that'll make you laugh. And it's all with Luke Albright. I remember shaking the RV in LA before we hit the road trip, and you just making this ridiculous sound. And it was hysterical. He sounded like some a dying goat or a conehead. I don't know what he was doing. It's
one of my go-to
his
voices
video.
Is a dying goat.
Is that what it was, a dying goat?
Yeah, I have that on my resume.
Well, you know, people
yeah.
are making
that
those goat movie or those goat YouTube things, you know, and maybe you should do that with that.
Yeah, I'm going to take it in a different direction. You know what I mean? They're just putting it in songs and doing funny little videos.
Yeah.
With it. I want to go inside the goat's mind. And what's going
yeah.
on with the screaming
awesome.
Goat? That's my movie. Watch out for it, 2015.
Yeah.
Oh, it's going to be the best comedy of all time, I'm telling you. Well, you know what's
okay,
funny,
wish,
though?
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, though, one of the things, because I know I worked with Luke, and he was always hilarious, and he plays like a character in Lost in the Crowd where he's got some range. He's got, his character actually has the most range to show as an actor in that movie, and he hang out with him offset. He's like one of the funniest guys you'll ever see, and then that's why it was like such a great, it was as a fan, because I'm a fan of Luke, he's not only my bro, but to watch
mm-hmm.
him do Claim, who he added the original script. I didn't have too much funny stuff, but he added so much funny stuff. But you see such deep drama, and it's just like, that's why I can't wait. I can't wait for it to come out just to see, as a fan of like Scott, as a fan of Luke, to see, and you know, to work with them was really good. But you talk about range, you know, like Brian was talking about with me, you know, I have it, but you know, watch Luke Albright. I'm just telling you, he's got a, you know, he's just hilarious. So, but
Gary,
I was saying
yeah,
too,
we figured that out.
Yeah, I know. There's this
fun.
One scene in particular, though. There's a few scenes in particular, actually, but there's this one. I mean, I was just not in the moment. I don't know. I mean, I was in a funk, probably because my character is always in a funk. But we were in Virginia Beach. We're in an RV scene. We're just parked shooting kind of, it's just parked, but and he has this scene where he just breaks down, and it's, you know, you're working with someone great when you are not in the moment and their performance draws you in. I mean, not only me, I mean, I was feeling it. I was teared up. It was just so authentic, but not only was I worked into the moment, dude, the sound guy, Brandon, came up. He was bawling, came up, gave Luke a hug, gave me a
aww.
Hug. Mary Dixon. Aww. I mean, the whole crew was in tears because it was just that powerful. And it's just, there's moments like that in Monumental. You know, like, and I told Luke, you know, during it wasn't like, I didn't want to be insulting to him because I meant it as like the utmost compliment when I was telling him, I'm not shocked by what he's doing because I know what he's capable of. You know what I mean? I know. I'm not even, it's like I'm blown away, but then I'm not, because I mean, I was expecting that, you know, but it did hit me, though. I'm not going to lie, like in that, sitting in that chair and driver's seat of that RV, I mean, I get the chills just thinking about that moment, because it was, you know, Luke knows the scene I'm talking about. I mean, there's a few where he's extremely
yeah.
powerful, but there's this one moment, I don't say a word, you know, I'm just sitting there, and I'm just being a friend, listening to him go through, and you read the script now, and he wrote this particular part of this scene. And I was wondering how he's going to play it. Like, how would this be played? Because I read it can come off super cheesy if you're just reading it. But then you see what he does to it. It's just, man, like, I'm literally got the goosebumps thinking about it. It was just so powerful. And that's what, you know, and like you said, you know, you'll see some stuff. And I'm shocked that's not in the trailer, actually. Maybe it's good, maybe it's not. But it's, I don't know. Like I said, it was a dream to work with these guys and to put it together. I could not have had a better co-star. We could not have had a better director, you know, a Stuart Page help run the show, and our whole team. Like, we could not have made Monumental without any of us. Like, it's, I don't know. So I got
yeah.
I watched the trailer. Like, I'm, go ahead.
No, I just want to echo what you're saying. I feel very lucky to have the group that we have, and it was really kind of eye opening to me to see how, like, you know, I've worked with you before, and it's the same thing you said. Like, that's one reason I wanted to come on board this project, was I know what you can bring to a role. And so it's, like, you, even as teared up as you were getting that day, like, I get teared up watching the trailer. I mean, they've done a fantastic job with what we've done.
I called you right after I saw
yeah.
it. I literally called. It was like, I got to set. Stuart picked me up. He's like, did you see the new trailer? I said, no, I didn't have time to watch it. You know, because it was sent to me late at night, and I get the set. I'm ready to get in, you know, my costume or whatever I wear for this movie. And I put the headphones on, and I was halfway through it, and I started tapping Stuart on the shoulder. And I was like, yeah, this is it. I mean, I knew it wasn't the final trailer, but I was feeling it.
Right.
I'm like, this is what me and Luke were going for. And I just literally ran out of the room. I called him immediately. I was just like, I just had to call him. It was just, that was the only instinct I had was, I had to call Luke and just say, what up? But, you know, it was just, you know, because it's not easy to make films nowadays, let alone with a certain budget and trying not
right.
to lose any production value at all. And the one thing we have is that, like, we didn't have much money to make this movie, but you won't know that by watching it at all.
I would agree with that. It's really impressive to see, because as an actor, you never really know. Like, you can think, like, yeah, we nailed that performance, we're amazing. And then you watch it, and whether it's, you know, sound quality or picture quality, or maybe your acting wasn't as on point as you thought, you see it and you're disappointed. Like, I'm just so happy with what I'm seeing from what we've done. I'm overjoyed by it. I'm really excited for people to see it. So,
I love you, Gary.
Woohoo!
Well, I guess the question I was going to ask you guys, you kind of already pretty much answered it. I was going to ask you, while making Monumental, did it bring you two closer together as friends and fellow actors? And you pretty much just summed that answer up right there.
Right.
I love this dude right here. He's a fantastic actor, and he's become one of my closest friends. And that's gotta get goosebumps talking about why I got into this business. Was I wanted to make really personal, whether it be funny or dramatic, just really personal movies with people that I really respect and people that I really care about. And I got to do that on this one, and it makes me so happy to be able to do that. And now we're pushing through and completing it, and hopefully can have this amazing film for people to see. And it just makes all the years of all the bad shit you have to put up with and all the creeps you have to work with, it's worth it. This makes it totally worth it.
Yeah, I bet you can't imagine doing anything else now at this point in your life and your career.
Oh, God, it'd be so hard. But it's exciting to see my friends like Gary, like, we're moving into positions where, you know, we could be doing this as a living, just working together on projects, and that makes me really happy. I'm really excited about the possibility. So,
it's funny you say that because I was going to say that both of you could just do one movie by yourselves, just be the only actors in the movie, and it would be phenomenal. I would watch it, and I know I'd be laughing and crying at the same time.
Gigantic compliment. I really, really appreciate that.
Thank you. That. For me, a little bit. I'm by myself a lot. I'm a loner, so. I mean, Luke said it perfectly. We were always close, but one thing that meant a lot to me, and Luke was already a part of Monumental already for months at this point, but he was going away to do The Devil's Pass in Russia, and he had a small group of his friends, and he invited me, and you know, that meant a lot to me. I don't know if I ever told him that, but I don't really get to go hang out a lot, and I mean, I never show up for things, because I have my own little thing I do at my house, and but I was not going to miss that night, you know, for him going away, and I was proud of him that he's doing his movie. So that was a thing that got me closer. But, you know, I see him like a brother, a colleague, everything. He's like, you know, he's like, biological brother, but like I said, he's but as close as you can get, him and my buddy Chad and you know, Stuart. I mean, like I said, this is lifetime, you know, friendship, and we'll do movies. Even if we don't act in them sometimes, we might produce some, you know, like this is the beginning of some many, many things.
That's awesome. I'm definitely looking forward. I know Pam and I are both looking forward to all of the future endeavors you both do, together or apart.
And if we just have you and Pam and Sabine watching us, that makes it all worthwhile. So it's all good.
That's why we do
make movies just for you guys.
For Pam and Sabine. That's right.
I'm sorry,
I think
correct you. It's Sabina.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. What did I say, Sabine? Oh, that's from your. Yep. It's on your Twitter. It's like that, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's spelled that. It's,
that's how
that's
it's spelled.
That's the way it's spelled, but it is pronounced Sabina. I know it's crazy. It's my parents' fault, so you can blame them.
No. It's beautiful. Please correct me if I say it incorrect. I call Gary Airy. I call him Airy all the time. I forget the G.
Okay.
Yeah. It's all good. Yeah.
So you come back with ook. Hey, ook, it's your scene now.
No.
I just say what up to people. What up? I don't even say people's names half the time. Say what up.
I can't be bothered with your name. I'm sorry.
Yeah. You're an image I recognize. What up? Yeah.
Well, just always remember the faces, at least. I would hope that you get that part.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, always.
Absolutely.
So when do we see Monumental coming out? Is this like maybe a 6 month thing or a year? I know you still got, you know, a lot that you have to do, and I believe mm-hmm. you're going to bring it to some festivals, right?
Go for it, Gary.
Yeah, festival route first. We got to make the submissions, and then we'll go from there. We're going to just try to find the best home for it, you know, do the festival route, and we'll sit as a committee and see what distribution deal offers come in and go from there. We're not in a rush to get recognized for it. I mean, we're beyond that. We're already working and doing things. It's just about, I mean, this is a passion project for all of us. So, but yeah, the festival route. So hopefully, I mean, next year, early next year, if everything pans out right and, you know, you can make some festival tours and then we can go, you know, I don't know when it'll be available for the masses, but it'll be sometime in the next year.
Well, if you do a screening, make sure you hit up me and Sabina in Chicago and Atlanta, you know, because
yep.
when you went to Indiana, I didn't know when you got there because you forgot to email me because you were so busy, which is okay. I will let you go at that this time, but...
where were we at, Chicago?
Pardon?
Where were we at?
Indiana,
when you guys went to Indiana, you were supposed to send me an email so I could drive up there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was so hectic. It was like, it wasn't what I couldn't even, I forgot to call myself sometimes. You know what I mean? I didn't even know where I was. I was in a cornfield.
I figured that, so I forgive you. I forgive you.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
Thank you. I forgive Gary, too. I didn't even know about this, but I forgive him.
Yeah, it's 100% my fault. I'm sure if I would have mentioned Luke, he probably would have remembered because he's really on top of stuff like that, and I was scattered.
That's okay. So. Yeah, I mean, look at how much you got on your plate, you know. You're doing all of these movies and your own movie. No one can blame you for forgetting things. So, Luke, when you guys do the screening...
Uh-huh.
Yep.
And
it's
coming to Chicago and Atlanta. Let us know.
Okay, I'm on it. Absolutely.
Awesome.
Well, I have to apologize to you as well because I have not yet seen Devil's Pass, but I'm going
That's
to.
Okay.
Neither have I.
Great.
Sorry.
What's that?
I said I haven't either. I've been trying to find it, but.
I mean, I'm going to cry later, so don't, I mean, don't feel real bad about it. I mean, maybe you should feel bad. I don't know. You make the decision for yourself and what feels right for you. No, absolutely no worries. I know it's been kind of hard for people to find, and the theater release has been, like, really limited in the U.S., but it is on iTunes and Amazon streaming right now, and very soon will be on
Netflix
and DVDs. Yes, it just either yesterday or the day before it came on Amazon streaming.
Okay, because I go on there to watch movies, so that's good that it's on there.
Yeah, as long as you guys can, I don't know. I think it won't be too scary for y'all to watch. I think y'all are thinking it might be too scary, and, you know, maybe I'm just saying that so you'll watch it, and it'll freak you out, and you'll be mad at me.
Well, maybe I'll let Sabina be my guinea pig, and she can watch it first and then tell me.
That's a smart move right there.
She doesn't mind watching those types of movies and not getting scared. I'm the one that's the chicken.
Yeah, I just don't like the gore. As long as the gore is not there.
No, and I'm on the same page with you, and that's one really good thing about this. It's more of a suspense thriller than it is a horror. So there's not really much gore at all. So you don't have to worry about
that's
that.
Yeah, that makes it better
because I can do suspense, you know, things like, and I'm going to be dating myself, but things like Poltergeist I can watch.
That was one of the scariest. Man, that scares me still sometimes.
Really?
I don't think I ever got to see that one.
Yeah, I
watched all three of them, and I didn't have any problem with that. Now, Exorcist, forget about it. You know, we spoke about that before. I can't do that.
No, I even have a tough time with that one.
Yeah, there's one movie that Brian made that I don't think I could ever watch because it has that kind of face, like the Exorcist face, called Dark Remains. Did either of you guys see that?
Oh.
I haven't seen that one.
Yeah, it has some creepy moments in it. Yeah, I saw it. That's what made me want to work with him because you can see he's got some style. He knows how to tell a story. So,
yeah.
Yeah, it's creepy.
I'm kind of out of that loop now. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That's all right. I was just going to say, just seeing the face, it just brought me back to, you know, Exorcist, and I thought, oh, I don't know if I want to watch that. I'll maybe watch some of his other movies.
Yeah, exactly. Stay away from that stuff. That stuff's terrifying. And I can't really do that anymore anyway, because my girlfriend couldn't even make it through my movie, and we were just watching it on my couch. And she's like, I can't do it. I can't. I'm like, no. Your boyfriend's in this movie. You have to watch it. She's like, I can't. She gets pretty scared.
Little Agnes.
Yeah, aww. It was a good time.
Well, we want to thank you guys so much for joining us again tonight, and you're welcome back anytime. You know, when you do start promoting the trailer and the movies, no matter which ones they are, let us know. You know we're there for you, and we'll promote it to death.
Love it. Thank you
appreciate
so much.
Appreciate it. You girls are
awesome.
And
Gary, you get some rest in between doing your films, and I hope you both get to take some time
to
spend with your families.
Absolutely.
No, I'm rushing out to get to dinner right now, and then my phone's been blowing up. Everyone's looking for me. So I'm like,
uh-oh.
I'm coming. So.
Uh-oh. Well, you can blame
us. Yep.
Yeah, I will.
Him,
I'm blaming
it. I've been my alibi about 5 times in the last month. Little did they
know. No. Okay.
No, I'm teasing. Y'all are great. Thank you so much for allowing me to call in again.
You're welcome.
Okay.
I'll talk to you girls later.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Bye.
Have a great evening. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Wow. I know that I could talk to them all night. What about you?
I know. They're awesome.
Especially Luke. Once he gets going, I'm telling you. I mean, it's nonstop laughing like we were when we did the interview with him before.
I know.
Oh, my gosh. I can't even imagine him and Gary together. Can you?
No, but I tell you, that'd be some fun stuff right there.
Yep. I think that we would need maybe some Depends.
Uh-oh.
Because we've been laughing so much. It just reminds me of when I went to see Bill Cosby live many years ago in Las Vegas.
Oh,
I mean, it was
lucky.
I can't even tell you. I had tears pouring down my face. It was me and my girlfriend, and we were sitting in a booth, and she was like at one end, and I was at the other end. And we were both like half laying down, holding onto our stomachs, laughing so hard because that's how funny he was.
That's awesome.
I would love to see him. You should. I mean, I love him because it doesn't have to be, you know, comedy doesn't have to be dirty. It doesn't have to be swearing or anything like that. And he was, it was so good and so funny that actually when he came to Chicago, I took my kids to see him. So I've seen him twice. Are you still with me?
Yes, I'm sorry. Yes, that him and Robin Williams I'd love to see live.
Now Robin Williams I have not seen yet, but definitely. Did you see he's got a new show coming out?
It's on
CBS.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yes, I'm totally there. Yeah.
Okay, I'm definitely going to be watching it. Well, for our listeners, we were speaking with Gary Kearns, and he's an actor, writer, director, producer, man of many hats. Make sure you pay attention to him because he's going to be in your face a lot with all these different movies he's got going on. And, of course, with his own movie, Monumental, I cannot wait to see that. And also actor and writer and probably producer, director, and everything else, Luke Albright. You know, many of you may know both of them already, but they have many things coming up, so watch for them. And also for director Brian Avenette Bradley, who called in, you know, check out some of his movies. And Gary is working with him right now in Malignant. So actually, I think they just completed that, they said, right?
Yeah, they did. Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. So definitely, when that comes out, check it out. If you like suspense kind of horror movies, it's right up your alley. follow Gary on Twitter at Gary Kearns, and it's C-A-I-R-N-S, and then two big I's for like the second. And follow Luke on Twitter at the Luke Albright, and follow Take Two Radio on Twitter, and also Sabina and my other co-host David at Take Two Radio Crew. Follow us on Blog Talk. They'll send you an email each and every time we have a show scheduled. And then you can also listen to the previous podcasts on my website, on Blog Talk, on iTunes, as well as Stitcher. And Stitcher is a mobile app that you can download to any of your mobile devices. Check out the website for any upcoming guests tomorrow at 7 p.m. Eastern Time with Sabina and I. Is going to be actor Matt Cedeno, and I hope I'm saying that correctly. A lot of you may know him. Pardon?
I think you are saying it right. It's Cedeno, because I saw that little accent over the end.
Right, yeah. That's what I was trying to get it right. A lot of you may know him from Days of Our Lives. He played Brandon Walker, but now he is on Devious Maids as Alejandro. And let me tell you, I watched him on Sunday. Did you see that show yet? That episode?
Yes, I did. Yes.
Did you see what I meant by, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God?
Yes, I saw.
So if you haven't watched Devious Maids yet, I really suggest that you watch it. I have the pilot episode on take2radio.com. It's amazing. It has many actors in there that you'll recognize from other shows. Anna Ortiz, gosh, I can't even think of names. Grant Cho, Susan Lucci from All My Children, Brianna Brown was on General Hospital, of course, Matt. And can you think of any other names off the top of your head?
No, sorry, I can't.
Well, they're all on the website. There's a Twitter name for each one of them. But there's a lot of great actors in there, and it's an awesome, awesome show. It was picked up for season two, so I look forward to that. So join us again at 7 p.m. Eastern Time tomorrow for Matt Cedeno, and we will have a lot of fun, especially talking about Sunday's episode. So take care, everybody. Thanks for joining us. Thank you, Sabina, and I will see you again tomorrow.
Okay, see you then.
All right.
Bye.
Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.